Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
We're jumping straight in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, we see the account. Thank you guys, you may go. You be dismissed. We see the account of Jesus restoring a demon-possessed man. He'd been tormented by a legion of demons. He'd lived among the tombs. He was isolated. He was cutting himself. He was chained up by others, but unable to be set free. And Jesus crosses a lake just to reach him. And with one word, the demons are cast out. This man is instantly restored. He's in his right mind. He's clothed, and he's sitting at Jesus' feet. Man, this is just who Jesus is, amen? He's still setting people free, restoring today, amen? But the story doesn't end there. The man begs to stay with Jesus. But Jesus says in verse 19, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he's had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis, 10 cities, how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. Can we just praise God for that? That's amazing restoration. You know, I love basketball. Anybody else a fan of basketball? No, three of you. The rest of you like soccer, don't you? Anyways, I grew up playing basketball. I love watching it. I still play on Saturdays. Last week, I had my first game back after breaking my nose. You guys remember that? My wife got really... No, I'm kidding. It wasn't my wife. It was a basketball injury. And I came in pretty hot, I guess. I was on from the get-go. And I was stoked to hit the game-winning free throws for our first win of the season. Yeah, praise God. You know, I just shot and swish, the crowd roared, confetti, they got me on their shoulders, people were like, "Sign my baby," like it was a moment. But here's what I've realized, that what and when I eat beforehand really matters, dictates how I go in the game. If I eat less than 2 hours before a game, oh man, it's struggle town. Like, I'm puffed before I even get on the court. Normally I can run up and down about twice before I'm puffed, but like, if I eat before, it's struggle town. But what am I trying to say is that I think we all understand that it's not good to eat and run. Both literally or like physically, but even like socially, right? Like we know it's rude to eat and run. If you're going to someone's house, you're having a dinner, you should stay, enjoy, chat. But in the kingdom of God, it's the opposite. It's the opposite. You see, the kingdom of God is opposite or backwards to a lot of cultural norms. You know, the kingdom of God, it says, love your enemies, not try to destroy them. You know, it says, be generous and your life will get larger rather than every man for himself, you got to get your own. So what I'm saying is that when we feed on what the Spirit gives, when God moves in us, we're not meant to stay still. We're meant to run with it, to move in the power of what he's done. You see, spiritual fuel isn't for comfort, it's for movement. We eat and then we go. And so if the Lord has done something in your life in this season, don't let that be the end result. Let that be the beginning. Don't get stagnant, okay? Because sometimes after we receive from God, we think, we should just sort of sit with this and soak and wait for dessert, you know? But the kingdom doesn't work like that. When he feeds us, it's to fuel us to step out, to jump back in. You see, God is moving. He is healing people. He's restoring. People are getting set free. We've had amazing praise reports coming. But can I remind us today that this is not just for us to feel better? Yes, that's a part of it. But we don't want to be like the lepers, the 10 lepers. They were healed and they never ran back to Jesus to thank him or to follow him. Don't get your breakthrough and bail. You know, receive and run. This is a divine refuel because there's a race for us to run. We don't just eat, we run. And so I got a couple of keys I want to quickly hit you with to see us all eat and run. But just before we do, I just sense that there's some of us here that still feel stuck. You might feel like you got a broken wing. Like every time you try to fly, something just pulls you down. Maybe it's a fractured relationship. Maybe it's pain that you haven't let God touch yet. Hear me. We are entering a season of going after wholeness in our lives, not just for our comfort, but so that we can run. And so it is your time to jump in, get healed, get whole, do the work with the Lord so that we can celebrate as you're catapulted into your calling. Amen? And so if we're going to eat and run, we must understand that God encounters always lead to God assignments. Always lead to God. When God meets people in Scripture, it's never to leave them sitting still. This man in Mark, he begs to stay with Jesus, but Jesus sends him, right? And he goes to 10 cities, Decapolis, right? One moment healed, the next moment on mission. Think of Peter after the death and resurrection of Jesus. He's broken by failure from denying Jesus. And then in John 21, he's restored on the beach through an encounter with Jesus. And Jesus asks, "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord." "Then feed my sheep." Three times, right? Three denials, three recommissions, right? Restoration turned into assignment. You think of Moses. He has a burning bush encounter with God in Exodus 3. It's not just fire for fire's sake, right? God says, "Now go, I'm sending you." You see, God meets us not just to comfort us, but to commission us. We eat and then we run. And that looks like being about others. That looks like being about others. Matthew 13 tells us the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that grows into a large tree and provides shelter for the birds. In other words, what the Lord has done in you is to impact and bless others. There needs to be an attitude in us that says, "Man, I can't stay here anymore. I can't keep this to myself. I got to run with what God is doing and done in my life." Our purpose is to know God more and to make Him known. To bring love, justice, and peace wherever I go. There is a race marked out for you. There's a call on your life and the world needs it. You see, God's been doing a great work in us. Faith's risen so much in this past few months in our church. I'm really proud of all of us and we need to protect that. We can't let it fail. And so we must keep on partnering with the work that the Lord is doing, throwing off the weights that have slowed us down, have blocked our vision and our passion, and we're going to run this race that the Lord has for us. Just like it says in Hebrews 12, let us throw off everything that hinders, every weight, and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with endurance the race that's been marked out for us. Paul echoes this with a challenge to Timothy. In 2 Timothy 1:14, he says, "Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us." When we look at these two passages, I deduct that it says, guard it by going. Guard it by going. There's a deposit from heaven on your life. There's a testimony, there's a calling, there's a gifting, and Paul says, guard it. But guarding doesn't mean hiding. It doesn't mean putting it on a shelf marked someday. It means exercising it, running with it. A muscle, it atrophies when it's not used, but it's strengthened when we use it. Right? When God gives you or gave you that house that you prayed for, then we must run with using it for His kingdom, for others, right? When God gives you that Connect family that you prayed for, then we don't hoard it to ourselves, but we gotta run by expanding and providing that same family for others. You guard your faith by going. If you've been awakened to intercession and to pray, well, join the prayer team. Like, do something with it. Because we guard the fire by feeding it and letting it burn, not by covering it. I'm talking about a combination of obedience and activation here. Walk it out. Don't shelve it. Let the Holy Spirit activate what's been placed inside of you, because what you've received, it's meant to go to work. You know, if there's some weights and entanglements that are stopping you from running, we got to be deliberate in this season of wholeness. You know, some of you will need to fast again. You know, some of you will need to stand in the gap in prayer for your family. Some of you will need to humble yourselves and say sorry. You know, some of you might need to get help, open up to a leader, go to counseling. Why? Because we're not just here to receive, we're here to go. We're here to run. And we don't need another marriage breakdown statistic. We need couples functioning as a dynamic team for God. So we got to get whole. But then we guard it by going. We don't want to become spiritual lakes. Nobody looks at a lake and says, "Man, I want to drink that water. I want to jump in." They're stagnant and they're still. But we're called to be rivers of living water. John 7, whoever believes in me, rivers of living water will flow from within them. If there's no outworking, the inflow stagnates. If there's no movement, then the life stops flowing. An example of this, 12 years ago, I was healed from glandular fever, and that was my eat. And so then I started to run. I prayed for someone with nosebleeds. They were healed. I prayed for next week, prayed for a knee injury, healed. More miracles followed. But eventually, I stopped stepping out And when I did, that part of my faith stagnated. Didn't keep flowing because I didn't keep moving. When you've become, where you've become stagnant in your faith, in your wholeness, in your serving, in the call of God on your life, remember, you're a conduit for rivers of living water. Just start stepping out again. Give the Spirit an outlet to flow.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.